When you're faced with a trial, the most important, the first thing that you need to do is go to him in prayer, and do not move until you get his instruction. You might have been struck down, but you are not destroyed. So it's time to get up again. It's time to rise up again. It's time to recognize victory is mine, and I am not about ready to let it go. So whatever God has started, he says, I'm going to finish it. I will definitely complete that good work. Because if you just keep standing in the battle, if you just keep standing in the fight, if you just keep using the word of God, if you just keep being who you're called to be in his word, that same pressure, God is going to use that same pressure to perform a perfect work in you. The enemy wants you to quench the Holy Spirit. He does that by giving you a thought to cause you to not be able to enter into what's being presented. Oh, the banqueting table is spread and prepared. But the enemy will try to keep you with his lies, with his schemes, his distractions, all of his tactics. He'll try to keep you from eating at that table that's been set so that you can quench the Holy Spirit and not receive what God had for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans in chapter 8. I already read it during worship, but I'm going to read it again because the Lord said, I want you to focus on this tonight. So I've been praying for this service and praying for this message tonight. And the Lord says, I am faithful. I want you to remind them of the faithfulness of God and remind them that the faithfulness of God is because I love them with a passion. He loves you with a passion, and that love will never end. That love can never be outdone. The enemy can't come unless people, relationships, there's not a match. There's no match to the love of God. There is absolutely no match. In other words, it can't top it. Any relationship, any failed relationship can't even come close to the love of God. Are you with me? Are we following? Some of you need to receive the love of God more, like better, like right now. I mean, we all need to receive the love of God more, but some of you I can see right now, like right this minute, say, Lord, I think she's talking to me. And if she's talking to me, I want to receive it right now. I don't want any distractions to limit what I'm going to receive tonight, because that love of God that he wants to pour into you is going to be received fully. Amen. Amen. So in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 37, are you looking at it? Are you looking at your word? Yes. Amen. Yet, the word says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Glory to God. Yet. What do you mean yet? What are we walking into? What is the yet? Look at verse 31. Still in chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, but we're going to make it personal. If God be for me, who can be against me? I want you to say it over yourself right now. If God be for me, who can be against me? Now, glory to God, right? It goes on in verse 32 and it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Yes, Lord, thank you. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We've been freely given all things. You've freely been given the power of God. You freely have been given the joy of God. You freely have been given the joy of your salvation. You know that, right? You have freely been given the clarity, the mindset of Christ. You've been freely given. You've been freely given the understanding, spiritual understanding. You have been freely given wisdom from God. Do you realize that? We've freely been given forgiveness. We have freely been given healing and deliverance. We have freely been given because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so it says, if God be for you, who can be against you, right? Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? We are the elect of God. Say, I am the elect of God. That means you've been chosen by God before the foundations of the world. You have been chosen. Believers in Christ, you've been chosen. You've been chosen. So it says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It is Jesus who is constantly making intercession for us. You need intercession? Jesus is making intercession. Jesus is praying. He prays for us. Thank you, Father. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? No, sword, as it is written, it says, for your sake. We are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, now we're at verse 37, yet in all these things, in the hardship, in the trial, in the persecution, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through him, through Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and he loves us. Say, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Come on. Come on, Jason. He loves me. Yes, I'm Travis. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Hallelujah. I love it. I love when strong men of God are unashamed to let their voices be heard. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, Are you persuaded? Nor things present, like right now, going on in your life, right now, nor things present, those present things, we all have them. We all have present things that are not of God, but we have to be persuaded that those things that are present right now, and also nor the things to come. Nor the things to come. None of them. It says, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The most dangerous person is a person that understands that they cannot be separated from the love of God. When you get that 100% understanding and you walk in this belief, you cannot be separated by the love of God. That's when the enemy really loses power. Because he realizes no matter what, no matter how strong he pours on his assignments, it will not work. Because the love of God that has been poured in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit is so thick, it's so real, it's so true that you have been changed. Are you with me? You understand what we're saying? That's how powerful that love is. That is how powerful. The love of God, it's something that you need to understand and something you grasp with your understanding, yes, but also with your spirit. Say, I'm grasping it with my spirit man as well. I'm going to grasp this with my spirit man as well. Yes, Lord, thank you, God. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's all found in Christ Jesus. The world looks for this in something else. They look for this in themselves. They look for this in their training. And they look for this in other religions. They look for this in other gods, but it's not found in anywhere other than what we have right here. And what we sing and whom we sing about right here, which is the love of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. He's our Savior. So we cannot be people that are moved by what we see. We're not going to be people moved by what we see. We see lots of things. We all do. Throughout the day, day by day and every day, right? Day by day. We see all kinds of things. Well, we're not going to be moved by things that we see. We also hear a lot of things. We cannot be moved by the things that we hear. Now, that's something that we have to decide internally to do beforehand. And as we decide internally to do this before any trial, before, you know, that agenda starts to unfold, then we realize we've been prepared for such a time as this. You've been prepared. You have been prepared. And we continue to prepare. It's not like, oh, we're prepared, we can stop. No, we continue to strengthen ourselves in the Word. So we're not moved by what we see. Say, I'm not moved by what I see. And I'm not moved by what I hear or what I feel. So what are you moved by? You need to be moved by what you believe. And your belief needs to be in the solid Word of God. We must be moved by what we believe. It's what we really believe that leads us. That's why we got to watch what we hear and be careful. Take heed to what you hear. It's what we really believe that will move us, right? So if we're going to be people that are not moved by what we see, not moved by what we hear, not moved by what we feel, then we need to understand what moves us is what we believe. It's what I believe. Hence, we got to be careful. What do you believe? What do you believe? Because what you believe is what you're being moved by, good or bad. If you believe that God is faithful, but when the heat gets turned up, it's time to panic, then your belief is faulty. and your belief is not pure, fully fixed on the Word of God. Is that true? When you're faced with trials, here's what you do, and we all have them. If you don't do this, then I'm going to ask you to take this to the Lord in prayer. When you're faced with a trial, the most important, the first thing that you need to do is go to Him in prayer, and do not move until you get His instruction.
I could not wait to share this news with you all. The Lord is doing incredible things at this ministry, and it is because of partnership with each and every one of you. You know, just a few quick testimonies, but we've got testimonies of people getting saved, rededicating their lives to the Lord, people coming off of addiction, all types of addiction, people getting healed physically. I am telling you, the power of God is present in this ministry. And I just wanted to say, you know what? You are a part of what God is doing. This is a kingdom-minded ministry. So every seed that you sow, I want you to know with every fiber of your being that you are planting in good soil. So thank you for your partnership as we continue to reach the souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back into the Word.
In other words, when there's a difficult situation that arises, do you first go to Him in prayer and wait until you get the next instruction? It's good to receive prayer, and we are all about prayer, and we love to pray for one another. But do you first go into the secret place to hear the Word of God? What has He spoken to you? What does He want to reveal in that situation first and foremost? It's critical. It is so critical. When you hear the voice of God, because you've prayed, you already know the outcome. He changes your belief if you need changing. He strengthens your belief when it's grounded and rooted in Him. Are we all following with what I'm saying right now? It's critical. When you hear bad news, first thing, you don't even speak of it, but you go in prayer. You go straight to the throne room, and you go straight to prayer, and it may take even some days before you hear. Be silent until you hear the word of the Lord. Be silent until you hear the instruction of the Lord. Now, the reason that I'm saying this is because there are many people that don't do this, but they want you to pray for their situation instead. And that's okay, we can do that. But the day needs to come where your spiritual maturity increases and you realize just how much the Father is waiting for you to come before Him to hear the truth for yourself. You can still ask for prayer. If God shows you, you can ask for prayer. But how important is it that you get the instruction from Him first? That you fine-tune your hearing to hear Him first? So the Bible tells us, let's turn to Mark 4:24. Mark 4:24. To be careful, the Bible says to be careful what you hear, or take heed to what you hear. There are too many voices that want to tell you contrary to what the Word of God says. We got to be careful or take heed to what we hear. Now, in the Amplified Version, it says to be careful what you hear, because the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of power, will be the measure of virtue, which means power. That comes back to you. The measure of truth, be careful what you hear, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth will be the measure of power that comes back to you. What you hear, meaning the Word of God. However, let me just very plainly, the more Word that you hear, the more power you have. Only God's Word is truth. What is truth? God's Word is truth. What is truth? God's Word is truth. In the New King James, Mark 4:24 says this. He said to them, take heed, meaning be careful, take heed what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. The Amplified Bible amplifies it, right? Gives you words to help you understand just what did that mean. It's talking about the measure that you use. In other words, the measure of thought and study when you read, when you study, the measure of thought and study that you put into the truth is the measure of power that you receive back unto you. How many of you would say, I need more power? We need more power, right? Then we need to make sure we're people that put that measure of thought and study into this word. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 8 and 17. It says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says, I want you to seek me diligently. And we seek him diligently, and whoever finds me finds life and finds favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. When you seek the Lord, you find him, but you also find favor with him. Glory to God. And so we trust him. We trust him in the darkest times, hardest times. We trust him in difficult times. We also trust him in good times. We trust him, and we will see the salvation of the Lord. Now, you know, I love this verse in Psalms 20 and verse 7. I say this scripture a lot because I believe that it's so easy to fall out of this, and we cannot. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we put our trust in the name of the Lord our God. And the more that you focus your eyes on that, you don't falter between two opinions anymore. You are fully 100% saturated in trusting in the word of truth. You don't trust in horses. You don't trust in people. You don't trust in an agenda. You don't trust in an assignment. You don't trust in a situation. You don't trust in even a good thing. You trust in the Lord your God. You trust in the name of the Lord. You trust in what the word of God has to say for you. That's where your confidence is. Bold and believing believers, are you understanding what I'm saying? That where we are today, God wants to give us so much more virtue and power through the understanding of his word that we don't stay at the level that we're at, no matter what level you are at today. Right? He wants us to increase. He wants us to grow. Do you realize something? That churches that walk in power, churches that operate in the Holy Ghost power, signs and wonders, healing, deliverance, people getting saved, people getting set free, people's lives being transformed, there is so much opposition that comes against a church like this. Are you aware? Please say yes. So much opposition. But you know what we do? We just, it's as if we don't, we see it, trust me. Just because we don't act like we don't, just because I act sometimes like I don't see it, trust me, I see it, but I'm not going to give credit to where credit is not due. Credit goes unto the Lord, my God. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. So I look to him. And so churches like this, people, us, we are the church, right? So not just the building, not just because the church is not the building, but we make up the church, right? So, but your life, your own life, your individual walk, you are the church. When you walk in the power of God, because you believe God at his word, through thought and study, remember, through thought and study, the measure that you give to thought and study determines the measure of power that's received back on your end of things, right? So when you walk and you've partnered with a church that literally believes for signs and wonders for this generation, and we see signs and wonders, we saw it again tonight. We literally saw it again tonight, just right before our eyes, God touching and healing and transforming this beautiful woman of God. Beautiful woman of God. So we get to be wise to the wiles of the devil. We get to be wise and make sure that we don't give any opportunity to the enemy. No access. His access is denied. Now, I make sure I do that for myself, but I make sure that I do it for all of you. But it would also be a good idea that you all do it for you too. It'd be a really good idea that you all do it for yourself as well. Can you imagine just how much God would do when each and every person here walks with this understanding? A soldier for Christ. Knowing that you are armed with strength. Knowing that you carry weapons to come against the warfare that comes against you. And every time you come, you're being equipped. In the truth, you're being equipped. Your sword is sharp, and you're becoming sharper and better able to use it. Your sword is the word of God. It's sharp. But you're becoming better in using that sword. Amen? And so in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8 and 9, it says, you know, talks that scripture that talks about we're hard-pressed on every side. I mean, that's true for everybody. Don't think that, well, she's so powerful. Every single person, we all experience trials and heartaches and difficulties, right? But Jesus said to be of good cheer, because he says, I've overcome the world. And he says, you're an overcomer because I've called you to be an overcomer. And we already went over that scripture, right? So, hard-pressed on every side, but you're not crushed. You may be hard-pressed, but you're not crushed. So what? You're hard-pressed. The Bible already said you're going to be. Are you crushed? Like, are you crushed to pieces where you can't pick yourself up? Don't say, oh, but I feel crushed. Stop being moved by your feelings. You may be hard-pressed, but you are not crushed because you're here. You're standing. You got up again. Say, I'm up again. I'm up again. You might be perplexed, but you're not in despair. Sometimes it's hard to figure it out. Sometimes you're like, wow, you know, from the left, from the right, this way, that way. No. You're not in despair. Even when you feel like you're in despair, you cast that spirit out. It's not coming from God. Cast it out. It's not coming from God. Learn to silence the enemy in your life. Learn to silence the enemy. Learn to silence his voice. Learn to silence his voice. You silence his voice with your mouth open. You silence his voice with your mouth filled with God's word. Silence it. You don't silence his voice with your mouth shut, not saying a word. Right? So hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You might have been struck down, but you are not destroyed. So it's time to get up again. It's time to rise up again. It's time to recognize victory is mine, and I am not about ready to let it go. I am not losing not one inch that God has given me, not one. The devil's afraid. Yeah, that's 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. And so the pressure that the enemy used to use to try to destroy you, and I know I'm talking to every single person here, became the pressure that performed a perfect work in you. He's using it all. That's what that means. He'll use it all. The pressure that the enemy tried to use to destroy you is the same pressure that God says, oh, really? Because if you just keep standing in the battle, if you just keep standing in the fight, if you just keep using the word of God, if you just keep being who you're called to be in his word, that same pressure, God is going to use that same pressure to perform a perfect work in you. And you rise up as a fiery one, as a bold one, as a worshiper that understands, so solidified in the love of God, you will not move. And the enemy believes it. And he believes it. Now, let me tell you, we all have different seasons in life. There are some seasons, this fiery. Boy, you're just fiery. You're just constantly in a place of warfare. You're just always warring. And then there are seasons, and God says, okay, it's time for the warrior to rest. So because of what you said, I'm saying this. There are times that, you know, it's more of a time of just worshiping and just receiving. Well, you're solid. You're not, you know, and you're doing what you need to do. You're making sure your thoughts are aligned with the word of God. It's just a different season right now. Right? And so instead of like, you know, that constant warring, your warring is worship. Because worship is war. Right? When you really worship is war. Even in you're like, oh, holy, holy, holy. That's war. I mean, the enemy is afraid of, and he should be. He's afraid of that. He should be afraid because of what happens in the realm of the spirit when you recognize the season that you are in and you partnered with Christ in that season. So in other words, you don't look at somebody and go, well, I'm not being a warrior like that person. Or, you know, well, gee, they're so like, where's Mary? You know, she's on the floor all the time. She's just like in this like la-la land with Jesus, you know. Like, we need to not look at other people and where they're at and what they're doing, right? And say, Lord, I thank you for my beautiful sister Mary. And I thank you. I thank you for each and every person. But my eyes are on you, Jesus. And what you're doing in me, I'm not going to minimize or look to somebody else and then say it's not as good or what's wrong with me. That alone the enemy will use against you. No, we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to be confident of this very thing. We're going to be confident that that which God has already started in you, he's going to finish it. He's faithful. Say, God is faithful. And so God's going to finish what he's begun in me. He's finishing the good work. He's going to finish the good work that he's already begun in you, Philippians 1:6, right? So whatever God has started, he says, I'm going to finish it. I will definitely complete that good work. God's done a good work. Right, Abigail? God's doing a good work in you, isn't he? Yeah. You're a fiery, bold one, right, like Julia? Yes, Joseph, Zara, right? He's begun a good work. And God is faithful to finish the work that he has begun in all of us. In all of us. Cast your cares. Just cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He cares for us. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Thank you, Father. Because the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. The one who calls you, you're called by God. We are called by our maker. He's faithful. He will do it. Whatever calling he's got on your life, he says the one who calls you is faithful. The calling of God, because he's called you, comes with the equipping of the Spirit of God. He is faithful and he will do it in you as you partner with him. So the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, rejoice. Are we there? Okay. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God has a will. This is his will. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. We're not going to quench the Holy Spirit. We will not quench the Holy Spirit. I will not quench the Holy Spirit. Do you know the enemy wants you, keep your Bible open. We're going to come right back to that. But the enemy wants you to quench the Holy Spirit, church. He does that by distracting you. He does that by offending you. The enemy wants you to quench the Holy Spirit. He does that by giving you a thought to cause you to not be able to enter into what's being presented. Oh, the banqueting table is spread and prepared. But the enemy will try to keep you with his lies, with his schemes, his distractions, all of his tactics. He'll try to keep you from eating at that table that's been set so that you can quench the Holy Spirit and not receive what God had for you. I mean, thank God he's so faithful. God is faithful. He'll make sure you get it. But we don't want to have to keep going around the same bush. We don't want to delay, right? God is faithful, but we don't want to delay. Let's go back to what it says. So do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. We don't just take a prophecy. It's a prophecy, you know. Well, first of all, the word I'm holding in my hands is prophecy right here. This is prophecy, Spirit of truth. Spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? This is the prophetic word. It says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Please be people that understand. We will test every spirit to make sure that it be true. I recently brought a message about that python spirit in Acts in chapter 16. Truth was being spoken, but from a wrong source. And we need to have the spirit of discernment that understands that's not of God. I don't care how much it sounds like a Christian. I don't care how good it may sound. It's not coming from the truth, the spirit of God. It's a lying spirit. So test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Hang on to what is good. Love yourself enough to know that you're going to walk in sync with the Holy Spirit and test and hold on to what is true. Test all things, test the spirits to see if they be true, but hold on to what is true. No matter how many lies are sent your way, no matter how many opposing situations are sent your way, hold on to what is true. It's a choice. And I say love yourself enough to do it. Why? Because there are too many that are falling left and right in the church. Too many that are falling. I had a conversation with somebody recently, and this individual was, you know, like in her early 20s, and she was at a certain church, and from the pulpit, they were discussing things where he was speaking, and he was saying things about how we need to be more tolerant. You know, we need to be more tolerant as believers, as people that believe in the Word of God. We need to be tolerant. We need to love all people. And we need to embrace and accept them where they are at and not be judgmental. Right? I heard a hmm. Enough said. Thank you for finishing my point. No, just kidding. No, but seriously, that is right, because that's, I mean, talk about polluting the minds of people. Talk about such utter pollution that comes, it's diabolical, and it comes right from the pit of hell. So you just slimed all these people that are listening to you in your state of compromise so that they too can compromise? Oh, no, I don't think so. But the youth, this is what they're getting used to hearing. But thank God, this individual that's in her 20s, she says, I want her to get up and walk out of that church. God has his remnant. She says, I want her to get up and I want her to walk out of that church. And the only reason that she didn't is because her parents were there. And she didn't want to dishonor her parents. But wow. So the young one has more common sense and more spiritual understanding than her own parents. And you know what her concern was? That her sister was there. Younger sister was there. And she's going, I don't want her to hear this from the pulpit. So this individual has not returned to church. She's like, I don't want it. That's it's good and it's not good. Like, we need to be in church. The body of Christ. We are not to forsake the assembling together. But not in a church like that. And not every church is like that. This is not one of those. This is not that. We speak on these topics, and I'm very, very clear, and there's no question where I stand. Why? Because there's no question where God stands. We are to love every single person, but we are to hate the sin. And so people are like, oh, you're so judgmental. Well, no, but okay, if that's what you want to take away, then that's what you want to take away. You deal with the Lord, because his word is very, very clear. You know, we need to be people that are so unashamed of the gospel and so filled with the truth of God's love that we will not back down even when it hits in your own home or real close to you, right? You will not back down. Will you back down? Because there's too many Christians that are backing down because it's reaching too close to home. Sorry, but it's their soul that's at stake. It's their soul that's at stake. So it says to abstain from every form of evil. Abstain. Tell me, how are you abstaining? Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. When you're partnering with sin, that's causing people to go to hell. Abstain? Withhold yourself? Like, not be a part of it? Not be a party to sin? Not give someone a license because you're okay gives them a license? Because you're too afraid to speak the truth? If you're truly filled with the love of God, you're going to love him so much that you're not going to want to be silent because you know what that life leads to. Don't let society muzzle your voice. Don't let a job or someplace where they, well, that's not politically correct. Well, let's be biblically correct. What is all with this, what is it, PC, PC? What about BC? We should be biblically correct. Forget the PC. Because you know what? I just too many people going to hell in a handbasket, and that's not okay. That's just not okay. I mean, church used to be a safe place to come to, and now we got people that, you know, don't go to church because they're like, the church is worse than the world. And you know what? You can't blame them. You can't even blame them for having that mindset. It's not an okay mindset. You can't stay in that mindset. You need to get yourself in church. Choose the right one, though. You got to choose the right one. Don't just walk into a building because it says church. Make sure that you test the spirits. Make sure that you know where what you're listening to. Take heed. Take heed to what you're hearing. Mark 4:24, right? But we live in a time where even the youth, and I mean, she's a youth. She's in her 20s, right? And she knows what's right and she knows what's wrong. And is concerned for her younger sister, for what she was hearing. And at this moment, is not in church. Now, you know that was the right thing to do. In other words, not hearing, not allowing herself to hear that wrong doctrine. But the danger is she needs to get herself in church. Because the enemy wants to use that, right? Harden your heart. Continue to send you in the wrong. You're all by yourself. We're not an island. We're not to be islands. Lone rangers. Do not forsake the assembling together. Do you know there's power and strength when we come together as the body of Christ? There's strength when we come together. Why? Your faith builds my faith. My faith builds your faith. we read the word, we realize that we may feel alone out there sometimes, but we're really not alone. This is a family. We believe the same thing, the word of God. And we are built together in one holy faith, which is the faith of Christ Jesus. He is our salvation, right? So abstain from every form of evil. I mean, I just called out one, but every form of evil. Every? Yes, every. To be so quickened in the Holy Spirit that we will not partner with sin. To be so quickened in the Holy Spirit that we will not tolerate. We won't tolerate it. Abstain from every form of evil. Let's move on. Now, verse 23. Now, may the God of peace himself, because he is the God of peace, may the God of peace himself. He is the God of peace, perfect peace. May the God of peace himself, oh Lord, may he sanctify you completely, sanctified and set apart. You're sanctified and set apart. May the God of peace right now sanctify you, set you apart. May the God of peace himself, Lord, give him a revelation right now. Now, may the God of peace himself, it is the hand of God, because you're in agreement and you've said yes, that is sanctifying you completely, that your whole spirit, not just a part of you, not just the part of when you're in church, not just a part of your emotions, but when you talk about this, now you're going, that's not, I'm not going to, no, your whole spirit, your whole body. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body, that means all of you, every part of you, healed, unhealed, every part of you. Let today be the day of salvation, church. Let today be the day you hear the word and you walk out going, man, I feel strong. Man, I feel like that word just went right into me. I received that word. Let today be the day. Did you receive what you need to receive? And no spirit of distraction, not even your own things that you may have going on, will stop what God is doing in you, what God is doing. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. If God says, I'm going to sanctify you completely, he says completely is complete. Completely complete means perfectly perfect. And your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. We are called to be preserved blameless. Blameless. You know, inevitably you say something like that and somebody says, oh, well, you know, don't say that you don't sin. I'm not talking about you never sin, but we're called to sin less and less and less. We're not called to justify sin and then just keep on in the same old mess and nothing ever changes in our lives. We are called to sin less and less and less. When we really take it down and realize what is sin, we realize is how God views sin, and we realize how we miss the mark. But we are still called to sin less and less and less, and we're supposed to come into this sanctification because we believe what God's word says, and we want to be a part of that fully, right? So may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the verse that we started with, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. He who calls you is faithful is going to do what? Bring you into that blameless walk. He's bringing you into that blameless walk. This is not a religious statement, self-righteous, prideful, higher than thou statement. Absolutely not. You've missed it. If you think that, you've missed it. Then you don't understand the beauty and the purity of the love of God that's been poured out into us, of which we started this message. Understanding the love of God that separates you from the knowledge that's out there, the knowledge of the world. Separates. It's like, no. And it should separate because there can't be mixture. I'm believing you're following what I'm saying right now. We're not going to be separate from the love of God. But I'm saying the knowledge of the world, we should be separate from that. There should be a dividing line. We should be able to see it and go, that's not of God. But I've been so filled with the love of God that I'm never trading. I'm never turning my back. I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to turn my back on the word. I'm going to be a person that is literally being led by what he or she believes. By what we believe, not by what we see, not by what we feel, and not by what we hear. So we're going to be taking heed to what we hear, paying attention. And to the measure of thought and study that we give is the measure of power that's received back unto us. Absolutely. You need more power, you need more word. I mean, it's kind of plain, right? As plain as I can make it. You need more power, you need more word. You need to see more Holy Ghost action in your life, you need more word. To the measure of thought and power, right, of understanding, then you receive that word, then you receive the word, the virtue of God's word, the virtue and understanding, which means power. Virtue is power. Glory to God. Last scripture, and that is in Psalms 138, verse 8, and it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Oh, Lord, it is your mercy, oh, Lord, that endures forever. He's perfecting. He's perfecting what concerns you. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Father, I thank you for this message tonight, and I thank you for those that you've brought to hear the message. You were brought here tonight because the word was for you, to hear a word that's going to equip you and empower you, a word that's going to strengthen you as you should be strengthened as a believer. We should be strengthened when we hear the word of God. We should literally feel our spirit man increase in strength, because that's who we're called to be. People that allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our human spirit, and then we adhere to that word and we grow. And we walk out stronger than we walked in. And we walk out changed because we heard. We heard truth. We were careful to what we hear. We're careful to where we place ourselves. We don't just let anybody speak into our lives. We make sure we know who has that kind of influence in our lives. We make sure. There's too many voices out there that are trying to get your influence and to try to influence you. But when you come and you hear and you receive and you start getting built up, guess what happens then? You become that individual that goes out there that influences other people for the truth of God's word. And that's what we're called to do. In ministry, in Christianity, it was never meant to be one person does it all. We are all called by God, and we are all part of the body, and the Lord needs each and every one of you to do your job. Get filled and get equipped, but go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus and influence people, because we live in a world where too many wrong influences are happening, and the Christians are staying silent. We cannot be silent when God's filled you and equipped you and strengthened you and given you Holy Ghost. We were singing it, Holy Ghost fire. You're filled with the fire of God, the boldness of Christ, and the truth of his word. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for these individuals. Lord, I bless them right now, and I know that the word that's been spoken went deep. I know that the word that was spoken, Lord God, caught their attention. It caught their attention, Lord God. In their inner man. And they will not leave this place as they first came in this place. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that they're strengthened and empowered by the Spirit of the living God, by the Holy Spirit, to do the will of God, regardless of what season they're in, regardless of what attack might be happening, what hardship might be happening, regardless of what's going on. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful, because you cannot deny yourself. And if we just look to you, you are the author, you are the perfecter of our faith. We are strengthened and we are equipped as we keep our eyes on Jesus. So, Lord, we keep our eyes on you. We keep our eyes on you. We trust in you. We don't trust in external factors. We don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We look to you. We run to you in prayer. We get the voice of our Father. We hear the voice of our Father first and foremost. Then when we have the instruction, we know how to pray. And then we know how to ask others to pray with us because we've got the word of the Lord and you are faithful. And so I bless them, Father. The truth that they've received tonight, which equips them and strengthens them and causes them to go out and be a better husband, be a better wife, be a better son or daughter. The word that they heard, that they received tonight, causes them to be a better person. In Christ, we stand. He is our solid rock. You are our solid rock. In Christ, we stand. The solid rock. You are the firm foundation. We have been planted in the soil of your word. The word that doesn't return void. Planted, rooted, and therefore we now flourish in the house of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.